Now, good evening and a warm welcome to all who have come to the meeting, this gospel meeting in Newton Breda this evening. Thank you for coming, and we appreciate your presence in making your way to the meeting this evening. There may be some who are listening online, watching online, and you too are made very welcome also. Now, we might open the meeting with singing another hymn, hymn number 166, 166. God in mercy sent his Son to a world by sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified, 'twas for sinners Jesus died. All who, verse 3 says, all who in his name believe, everlasting life receive. Lord of all is Jesus now. Every knee to him must bow. Now, if you can, we'll rise to sing 166. Sin undone,
Jesus Christ
was crucified,
was for sinners Jesus died. Oh, the glory, all the grace,
shall in the Savior's face, from above, God is light and God is love. Sin and death no more shall reign.
Jesus Christ
and lives again in the glory's highest high. Shining in the Savior's face, telling sinners from above, God is light and God is love. All who in his name believe, everlasting to him must bow. All the glory of the grace shining
in the
Savior's face, from above,
God is high and God is
Christ the Lord will come again. He who suffered once will reign. Every tongue at last shall know, worthy is the Lamb alone. Oh, the glory of
the grace shining in the
Savior's face, telling sinners from above, God is light and God is love. I will just open our meeting with a word of prayer. Our God and our Father, we pray, we come to thee in the precious and worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been singing of him already. We thank Thee for that one who came into the world. We remember that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. We sometimes sing, "Down from the glory, the Savior came down to the cross and the death of shame." We thank Thee upon this earth lived a perfect man, the Son of God, one who knew no sin and did no sin, and yet came to deal with sin. For at the place which is called Calvary, we remember that He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He suffered, He bled, He died in order that we might have life. We thank Thee for the story, the great story of salvation that is, it is a lovely theme to think upon and to preach upon, for it centers around the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who alone is worthy. And so we pray for help this evening as we open the Word of God. Help to preach, help to set before the people again the way of salvation. And our Father, we give thanks as we have been singing and remembering that the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to earth, who died and rose again, is coming back again. What a bright prospect for those who are saved. He's coming to take them home to be with Himself. We pray that all who listen tonight to the gospel will be able to rejoice in that great truth. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Surely I come quickly," and that everyone will know that they're coming. He's coming for them. So hear our prayers. We continue in Thy presence. We give thanks in His worthy and precious name. Amen. And we just have the announcements now.
Now again, we'd like to give a very warm welcome to all who have come to the meeting tonight. You're very welcome in the Lord's name. And for those who have joined us online, you too are equally welcome. We trust the Lord will bless you for listening to the gospel tonight. As ever, we're glad to see some of the children from the Sunday school here. You're very welcome again. Often remember that whenever children came to the Lord Jesus, there were adults who turned them away. But we always remember that the Savior rebuked them. And He said, "Suffer the little children to come unto Me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." So it's wonderful to know that you're not too young to be saved. It's very solemn to think you're not too young to be lost. So we trust that you'll pay heed to the gospel tonight as our brother Keith would preach it. Now we give a warm welcome to Keith Henderson from Edenderry, has come along to speak this evening, and we trust that he'll know God's blessing. There's a few announcements for the hall for the incoming week. On Monday night, 7 p.m, we have a Bible Explorers, and the speaker there is Jeffrey Johnson. That's tomorrow night at 7. Then on Thursday, we're going to have a baptismal service, where a young sister is going to be baptized in the hall here. And then after, it's at 7:30 on Thursday. And then afterwards, there'll be supper served. Now, next Lord's Day, the breaking of bread at 11, Sunday school and Bible class at 3, and the prayer meeting at 6:30, and the gospel at 7 will be taken by a brother from Grohl Assembly, and his name is Jonathan Booth. Now, meetings are all subject to the Lord's will, and we trust that Keith will have help as he would make the gospel known tonight.
I want to read a few verses from the Word of God. If you have a Bible with you, you might turn to 1 John and chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, you can just listen. We trust. 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to break into the chapter with verse 7. 1 John 4 and verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And we trust that God will bless the reading of his precious word this evening. I just want, in this meeting this evening, in the time that we are together, to speak on four words. Four words, and trust that even the youngest will be able to hear them and understand them. We read in 1 John chapter 4 that God sent his Son. Just four words. We read in verse 9 that God sent his Son that we might live through him. We read in verse 10 that he might be the propitiation. Now that's a very big word. But it simply means the satisfactory payment for our sins. And then we read in verse 14 that the Father, he sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Just four words. God sent his Son. Simple and yet serious. For we've read of three very serious realities in the verses that we have read this evening. We read, first of all, that God sent his Son that we might live. Someone in the meeting or someone listening might say, but I am alive. Physically, I'm here. You can check my pulse, I'm alive. But the Word of God reminds us that God sent his Son in order that we might live. The Word of God very clearly teaches us, and we read, for example, in Ephesians chapter 2, that we are dead in trespasses and sins. That is, as God looks upon every one of us, as we are naturally born, we are born sinners, and we, in God's relationship, we are dead to him because of sin. We all have broken God's laws. We are born with a sinful nature. We practice sin. We do wrong. We break God's commands. And God says, dead. As far as I'm concerned, you're dead in trespasses and sins. That is, there's no relationship. And I speak reverently when I speak about whenever someone is dead, well, we don't really spend a lot of time around a dead person. But they're gone. They're dead. There's no longer relationship. And as God looks upon every one of us, he sees that we are dead. And we need spiritual life. Dead in trespasses and in sins. Every single one of us. That's just how we were born. With a desire, an appetite to do wrong, to sin, to go away from God. And as God looks upon us, he considers us as dead. And that's the first reason we have in 1 John chapter 4 as to why God sent his Son into the world in order that we might have life. We need life. We need spiritual life. We need to be born again. We need to be saved if we're ever going to spend an eternity with God himself. But then secondly, we read that God sent his Son to be the satisfactory payment for sin. You know, you don't need to make a payment if there's not a debt. If tomorrow morning I go across to Forestside and go into the phone shop and have a look at one of the latest Apple iPhones, and I decide to purchase it, and I enter into a payment plan over whatever number of years, well, then I have a debt with that company. It's something that I owe them until it's fully paid. And it reminds me, just as we read again in the Word of God, that the wages of sin is death, God tells us. That is, each one of us, not only are we dead and need spiritual life, we need to be saved, but we also have a debt with God. And that debt is a debt of sin. We've already mentioned it already. But our sins are just like a counting book. The longer we live, the more sin we commit. And the sad and fearful reality is that God has an account of every single sin that you and I have ever committed in our lives. It's just like a book that adds up, a counting book. And it is a debt before God, and that debt needs to be settled. And the debt for my phone will not be settled until I make the last payment. And the Word of God reminds us here that God sent his Son to make that payment of debt for our sin. It's something that you and I cannot pay. It could only be paid by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Someone might say here, I don't have a debt. Yes, you do. We all have a debt before God. It is the great debt of our sin. We are responsible for it. You are responsible for your sin with God. And the wages of sin is death. And if your sins and my sins are not accounted for in life, then we will be responsible for those sins. And the wrath of God and judgment of God against our sins throughout all eternity. God sent his Son that we might live. God sent his Son to make that appropriate payment, that debt of our sin. And then thirdly, we read that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. You know, you don't need a Savior if you're not lost. If someone is out in the water and they get into difficulty and trouble, and they're just struggling, and they're fearful because they're going to be lost, the person that you want to see is the person who has maybe the life belt or the boat who comes to your aid. But the Word of God reminds us that we're all lost. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, to be the Savior of the world, to save us. You know, someone who is lost, it's just like you can't find your way. It's like you're groping in the dark. You don't know where you're going. And that's true with salvation. You know, I once thought, and like many who are here tonight, when I came to meetings such like this and heard the gospel preached, I thought when it came to the matter of salvation that it was simple, because I had heard the gospel so many times, that it was simply a matter of like turning a key. It would be as simple as that. And I would get this salvation thing. It doesn't work like that. Because you're lost. It's like you can't find your way. You need help. And I remember being under the conviction of sin because I heard the gospel being preached. And I was absolutely lost because I couldn't help myself. I couldn't deal with my sin. I couldn't put away my sin. And I was just striving, and just as if I was in a dark place. And I needed salvation. We trusted someone in the meeting here tonight who's heard the gospel maybe for many years. And you realize you're lost. You can't help yourself. Well, the good news this evening, and the reason why I'm here, is to tell you that we have an answer. There'd be no point in coming to Newton Breeder this evening if we didn't have an answer for you. You say, what is that answer? For someone who's lost, for someone who has a debt, for someone who needs life, I have an answer for you this evening. And my authority comes from the Word of God. It doesn't come from me. And it's what you would call a focused responsibility. And I hope that I hope you can understand that terminology. A focused responsibility. If you are going in for an operation in hospital, there will be a team that will gather in the operating theater. Specialists, anesthetists, surgeons, nurses, a whole team will be focused on trying to solve your problem. And when it comes to the matter of salvation, God does not say that I will put a team together that can deal with the great problem of sin. Because there was only one who could deal with sin. And I go back to my four words that I have for this gospel message this evening. God sent His Son. A focused responsibility. Oh yes, we do read in the Bible that you remember when God said to Noah, you build an ark. Well, he had three sons. And between the four of them, they worked hard to build the ark. And you remember that when God said to Moses to build the tabernacle, that building, that beautiful building for God on earth, he gave him someone to help him. And beneath that were other craftsmen and specialist people who would build this tabernacle for God. When it comes to the matter of dealing with sin, God says, I'm not going to assemble any team. But I'm going to give the full responsibility upon my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know Him. His name is Jesus. And you may have heard about Him. As we read the Bible, we realize that He came into the world and He did many miracles, and they were wonderful, powerful, amazing things. Such power. And He taught great sermons and teachings that astounded the people. But when it came to the matter of dealing with sin, He had to go to a cross. It's not a strange thing. The God of heaven who sent His Son had to go to a cross at a place called Calvary. For He and He alone could deal with sin. No team. No focused responsibility. No other team that could be put together. But a focused responsibility all upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And God said, I can trust him. I can trust my son to do what is required in order that you might have life, in order that your debt of sin might be paid, and in order that you might be saved. And upon the cross at Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ died instead of you and instead of me, in order to bring us life, spiritual, eternal life. And upon the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the great debt of sin. And only he could do it. A perfect man in a perfect relationship with God, the Son of God, only he could deal with sin. And upon the cross, at Calvary, God judged our sin in Christ. He bore the burden of sin. He died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. What suffering was his? What a tremendous load was his? The wrath of God focused upon Christ on the cross, dealing with your sin and my sin. He died in order that our debt, your debt of sin and my debt of sin, could be righteously dealt with. He died to bring us life. He died to take away the debt of sin. And he died to save us. And that means that every single person, not just in Newton Breda Hall, not just in Belfast, but across the world, can be saved. Not something that we do ourselves. We're not here this evening, and I've heard that you're having a baptismal service, and that is lovely. But we're not here this evening to open the baptismal tank in order that you can be saved. And we're not here this evening to give you steps of how you can get saved. And we're not here this evening to stand at the door and to hand you a leaflet with an explanation and different steps of how you can be saved. No. We're here to focus your mind upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who at Calvary gave himself for you and me. The one who at Calvary paid the debt of sin as only he could do. For you can't pay it, but you're responsible for your sins and that they must be dealt with. And the only way they can be righteously dealt with is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's answer. That's the only way. And we don't come to Newton Breda this evening to tell you that there's any other way, for there's not. But we do warn you this evening that you need life. You need spiritual life that will fit you for eternity after death, in order that you will not find yourself in everlasting judgment in hell. And the Lord Jesus Christ sent his Son into the world in order that your debt of sin and my debt of sin might be paid. And I'm thankful that on the 23rd of June in the year of 1976, just half a mile down the road, I came to an end of myself. I was lost and in the dark. And I just had to, as it were, remove myself from everything that I was trying to do. And it came to me simply like this: the Lord Jesus Christ will save you if you but come to him and trust him And I knew that he would save me because I appreciated that he loved me and he gave himself for me. I can't tell you anything more this evening, but I can tell you once again that there is salvation for you. The Lord Jesus Christ has provided it, and he is the only way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I wonder, would you take God at his word this evening? I wonder, would you believe God? I wonder, would you believe the simple truth, these four words, God sent his Son. God is satisfied with what Christ has done in coming into the world. You say, is there any other proof? Well, the apostles who followed the Lord Jesus Christ, they look back upon the fact that he died. And they can say, we can verify he died upon a cross, but we can also verify that he rose again. For we saw him, we heard him, we were with him. It's true, it's happened. And a man by the name of Isaiah, almost 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ actually died, was able to say, as if it had taken place, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. But you know, there's something even greater. For the Lord Jesus Christ himself upon the cross said, it is finished. The work is done. I have paid the debt. I can save your soul. And he cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And he rose again the third day. He's a living Savior. And he'll save you tonight, just now, if you would trust him. May you do so for his name's sake, shall we pray. Our Father, we close the meeting. We're thankful that we've got one to speak about, one who is worthy, one who has died for our sins, and one who will receive the sinner, will receive those who would come to him even just now and trust him as their very own and personal Savior. We pray a parting blessing as we leave one from another, and we give our thanks in his worthy and precious name. Amen. I will just take time to sing. It's a short hymn. Just bear with me. Three hundred and forty, just to close the meeting. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. When the Savior said, 'tis finished, everything was fully done, done as God himself would have it, Christ the victory fully won. Now we'll just take time to sing verse 2. Verse 2, and the meeting is now over. And we stand to sing. Thank you for coming.
Oh,